Welcome to the Frogcast, but we digress. Guess what? The band's back together. Well, I was going to say back together, but apparently we were never all together in one place at one time before. So our band is together. Lexi and Hanakawa's here.
Yay.
What's up?
And Hanakawa's in Arizona, and they don't do daylight savings. And Lexi and I just set our clocks back last night.
Yeah, what is it? Fall forward, gain an hour.
Fall back.
I thought it was fall back. How do you know it when you don't do daylight savings?
I was like, wait, everyone, you want to spring forward? I mean, that's more terrifying. That's funny.
Nobody likes losing the hour, right? Like,
exactly.
Like, we like getting an extra hour, you know, blah, 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 that night and all that stuff, which, whatever, it was Saturday night. And, you know, my kid's 18 and doesn't live at home anymore. And I don't really have to worry about that, all that stuff. But the loss of the daylight is going to, you know, with it getting darker earlier again, is going to suck again, you know. Hit that depression, that winter depression. Of course, Hanukkah was like, what? Which she like sits on her like sun deck in Arizona.
Oh, it's so nice out. It was like 80 something.
I was actually just looking up places in Arizona.
Yeah. The high today was 78.
Actually, that was our high too.
That was our high too.
Yeah.
So what are you guys complaining about?
Maryland and Virginia, they're both crazy states because it could be 30 degrees one day and like 80 the next. You never know.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
As weather and with climate change and everything, it's like so hard to know what to expect. But yeah, it's like I had the air conditioning on all day today. I mean, part of it is because, yeah, I'm always like 1,000 degrees. And so I prefer to have the air conditioner on at like 60 degrees if I can. But I do have other people that live in the house who make adjustments. And so, but yeah, because the weather was so warm. I mean, I was watching the football game today, the Bills and the Jets, and they were playing in New Jersey because the New York Jets are really the New Jersey Jets. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, they said two New York teams. No, it's not two New York teams. Anyway, we lost. I'm a little bitter. It's okay. but I was watching it and they were like, it's 75 degrees. I'm like, it's November. And I'm watching a 75 degree Bills game. That doesn't make sense. Oh, yeah. But no, I'm looking actually at, I was looking at retreats in Sedona, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I'm hitting this like sort of crisis point where like, you know how like, Hanukkah, you deal with some physical, you know, sickness issues stuff too, right? Like when your physical symptoms just get so out of control and your mind, your mental symptoms, like you're just overwhelmed with life and everything. And all of that hits like maximum capacity at the same time. Like you just shut down, right? Like you just want to shut everything down. That's where I'm at right now. Like my physically, I'm in a horrible place. Like Lexi, you and I recorded the other night, right? And I was just like feeling like complete poop. And I'm still like that. I'm still complete poop. Mentally, I'm just like at the end of my rope. I don't know why. And so I'm like, I need a complete energetic like reset. You know,
you should do like a silent retreat. They have those kind of local.
They do. I don't know if I need a complete silent retreat, but like
you need that like chakra opening.
Yes.
You need to climb to the top of the mountain and visit the vortex while some guy blows a whistle or something on top of a rock. And
yeah.
Like, or you could climb the pile of dirt like Cody did. Be the king of the
dude.
Well, here's the thing. So I was looking at some Sedona resort or like retreat stuff. And one of them, they don't provide lodging for you, but they're like, here's some information on local lodging. And one of the things they say specifically, like, do not stay, that's all caps, do not stay in Flagstaff. It seems like it's close, but it's in the mountains and it's like an hour away and it's snowing and you're at 4,000 feet elevation, like all of this stuff. But then I'm like, ooh, if I could tack on a drive to Flagstaff and go visit Coyote Pass.
I'm down. We should get a trailer. I'll come with you.
Oh, my God.
We can park next to Janelle.
Spoilers.
Do you guys want spoilers about that?
Sure. Yes.
So, you know, this was filmed like a year ago, right? Sister Wives is filmed like a year ago. And the spoiler I heard was that as of August, this most recent August 2022, no building permits have been issued for Coyote Pass. And that Janelle only lived there from June through November.
Wow.
So
that's still pretty long. Her trailer was only there for, that's almost 6 months.
Yeah, but she was planning on a year while she built a house.
Yeah, casita. But when shit gets cold.
Yeah, but they didn't start building. She didn't, there was no building happening.
No, my point is, you're going to get cold in her trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, you get the water pipes, things like, no, I can see that. She probably said, fuck this shit, I'm out.
Yeah, but that means she like is like.
Do you think she actually stayed there? Or do you think the permit just existed for that duration of time?
Oh, the permit for the trailer?
Yeah, because there was no surveillance to say she was actually inside the trailer from that.
No, I think there might have been. Like I think the reporting, I have to go see the reporting. Like, this was just like told to me that such and such reported this. So I need to go see where they got that information.
Yeah.
But
because if it's just the permit expired or they modified it to say that
issued. And right. I mean, if she moved, if they moved the trailer, I wonder if they moved the trailer off. Like, I need to see what's behind that reporting. What evidence? Well,
how cold does it get there in Flagstaff in the mountains?
I mean, it snows.
Yeah.
Let's see. Flagstaff.
Remember all the snow that was on the log that Cody was shoveling it?
No, remember when he couldn't visit his kid because it was snowing outside, so he couldn't stand outside?
Right. So it can get down to 23 degrees.
Oof.
Okay. Fahrenheit. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, like I said, I have to see what's behind that reporting, like where they got that. But I don't know. I don't know. This season, so let me hear what you guys have to say about this, but I am of the personal belief that each episode is getting worse in that it is showing Cody's getting worse, right? Like Cody's saying and doing more things, right, that are ridiculous. And also that there's far less filler in each episode. And we talked about this last time, Lexi, like just like the change from 2 hour episodes of 90 day. I know, like to like full at 1 hour full episode. Like I watched this episode twice today, and today's Sunday, you know, we're talking daylight savings. It like I watched it once playing bingo with my girlfriend. So I'm paying attention. Like I'm paying close attention. And then I watched it again. I just finished watching it, taking notes and stuff. I feel like there was stuff that I missed.
Me too. I watched it this morning before I had to go to clinic. So it was early. I was getting ready. And then I watched it around the same time you did, like 2 hours ago. And I took some notes, but I missed out on a lot. There was definitely more notes I could have taken.
For sure.
Oh, this was I was very upset this episode.
Yep.
Yes. You know, and I had Robin's back for a while. I was like, you know what? I feel bad for her. She is a victim like everyone else. I don't think she's trying to sabotage. And then she comes in this episode and I'm like, stop talking.
I have a line here that just says Robin is an asshole. As far as like what happened next.
Well, she does that whole like, well, that hasn't been my experience. So obviously no one else could experience that.
Right. Well, there's that whole misunderstanding that happened later when Robin had the butt hurt about relationships. And I caught some stuff that she said the second time that I watched it that I didn't the first time. And I'm like, okay, you're just as bad as Cody. Full stop. So this is Sister Wives, season 17, episode 9, A Polygamous Divorce is what this episode is called. And we open with Christine and the girls finishing up their road trip, and Christine talking about how they had six days. It was a great time. Except for Truly, she didn't have a good time because she was trapped in the back seat. And she said, small car, she had so much stuff, blah, 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 blah. But they seem to have a good time. you know, road trip, getting to taking Isabel to North Carolina. So then they talk about, Christine talks about Isabel wanting to leave and the reasons why. College, wanting to leave away, live away from home. She loves Maddie and Caleb. And then she says, because it will be great to be around that beautiful relationship. So then they talk about, in this statement that Isabel's talking about all this stuff, she's saying it's hard to see, for a kid to see their parents not in a functional relationship and think it'll be good for Truly to move, because she'll be able to see the relationship between like McKelty and Tony and Aspen and whatever, whoever she's married to. Her, you know, seeing Maddie and Caleb's functional relationship. And the best thing about moving is being able to be around Maddie and Caleb's functional relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I like stopped at that. No, just me. Okay. All right.
I agree. No, I mean, there's nothing else.
Like, yeah, just me.
Shocker. Well, I mean, yeah, it's
how sad is that for a kid to say that that's what they're excited about? Not I'm going to college, not I'm going to be living with my sister. Like, no, like it's, I get to be around a functional relationship.
Yeah. And I actually miss that. So you saying that now, I missed that twice.
I know.
So
I'm like searching. I'm like, oh, crap. What?
What happened?
Searching the episode in my brain.
Yeah. Like, okay. All right. I get it. Isabel talks about, or that Christine is talking about, how Truly was going to Isabel for all things. Like after she was told about the divorce, she would go to Isabel, and she and Isabel like been bonding over it. You know, trauma bonding. I don't know what you want to call it. And Truly's upset about leaving Flagstaff, but you know, that's all she knows right now. So
yeah, she says she grew up there. So to her, that is like her home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all she knows. She's 11. She'll be, you know, she'll get it. Isabel says, Isabel told Christine to wait until Christmas to visit.
Oh, I'm gonna back up. I was like, oh,
I know. I'm gonna back up a little bit on this, right? So, that Christine's like, I guess had told Isabel like, oh, I'll come see you next month. And Isabel's like, no, don't, you know?
Yeah.
But part of why she tells her this is that like, since like the divorce announcement and all this stuff, and over the last year, she talks about how hard it's been for Christine this last year, just because, you know, and hard for Isabel, because she's seen the relationship between Cody and Christine, and it's awful and everything's bad. So Christine was like leaning on Isabel a lot. And Isabel's like, I think it's going to be good. You know, she's going to be in Utah and she needs to be, I need time away from her. She needs time away from me. Like, no, don't come until Christmas. And I'm like, I totally get that, as my kid had just moved down.
Yeah. You know, they need to grow. They need to move away and grow. They do.
And I got to see him. I went down there like a month after he moved out for family weekend. They did this, you know, big family weekend. So I got to see him, just, you know, a few things. I didn't spend the whole weekend with him, you know, but got to see some things and see how he's like settled in at school and everything. And that totally did my mama heart happy, right? Like I got to see him, that he was fitting in and that he loved it and it was great and, you know, and all these things and stuff. So I'm actually like, okay, like, you know, he's talking about not coming home for Thanksgiving, which is fine because we're traveling and, you know, I don't even know when I'm gonna, you know. It turns out I ended up seeing him recently, they came up, but generally, yeah, like I'm okay now. Like I've seen him like launching and spreading his wings and flying, and now I'm okay, right?
Yeah.
So I get that though, that, you know, it's hard, right?
It'd be so hard when Kaya goes away.
Kaya's two, not even 2 years old
I
yet.
I don't care.
Don't move her to college
yet. I'm 37. I'm going to be like geriatric by the time she goes to college. I'm going to need help. Mama needs help.
She's like, you want people to chase me? I'm out.
I need somebody to take care of me.
You have more kids and then they can
play.
No?
Nope.
Christine talks about how much she loves Chanel's kids, and, you know, because she helped raise them. So they're all close, which, you know, comes back. Cody mentions later, which, you know, oh, okay. It's like evidence that they hate Robin or something.
Which, random off topic real quick, Hunter lives in Baltimore now. Did you see
that? I know. I saw that.
And he has a master's in nursing and went to Hopkins.
Oh, no. No shit.
I looked it up online. I was like, what?
He lives in Baltimore. Yeah. What is he doing there? And you looked, oh my God.
Yeah. So he just graduated sometime recently with a nursing degree.
Do we know where he's working?
He probably is not sharing that information. Probably. But he ended up on some flyer at Hopkins, like posted around the hospital or something. It looked like his picture of a graduating, you know.
Oh, nice. Thing, so. Nice.
I thought that was cool. I was like, okay.
All
come
right,
on, Hunter. Yeah. You know you want to come on the broadcast.
Yeah. We're local to you. Come on, let's go hang out. Christine says she's happy that Janelle and Christine's kids have, you know, raised with this huge family dynamic and they love it, but she's changing that. Yeah, the kids are older. They're all moved, living in different places. Like Hunter himself said, you know, goes to Maddie's, I'll visit you guys down there. Like, never has them come visit him to in Baltimore.
No wonder. Just kidding. Love you, Baltimore.
I don't. I'm just kidding. I prefer Annapolis to Baltimore, but
I love my city. You can come anytime.
It is fantastic. Like
Kennecott, you can come too.
Woo-hoo. Anything that I like about Baltimore, I can get in Annapolis and then some. You know,
get the water. It's not as smelly.
Right.
Sailboats.
It's not the wire. You know.
Right.
I used to work in Baltimore. Well, I mean, that's where I went to law school too. So I don't know. Maybe it's just memories of that time. Like, I'm just don't want to relive that. So Baltimore just has my associations of Baltimore. But anyway, Mary has a friend. Like, who knew Mary had a friend?
Yeah,
Mary is with her best friend, Jen in Utah. I put it even in all caps. Mary has a friend.
Yeah. I thought she just like sulked around her house like the Phantom of the Opera and shit.
Not only does Mary have a friend, her friend came to visit her when I felt like the family wasn't around.
No,
she seemed like her friend flew out to see her when her mom passed.
I don't even think that the family knows. They're like, oh shit, Mary, we forgot about her. Anyone go and change her water?
Change her water.
No, so it's actually really kind of sad though, because she said it's nice to have someone care about her and that she mattered to somebody.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Her friend got on a plane and came, no questions asked, helping her do whatever needs to be done, you know, with the B&B, and then, you know, and helping her friend and all this stuff. And so Mary's like, yeah,
it's her literal quote was, I mattered and it feels good to matter to somebody.
Right.
How heartbreaking is that?
Right. But it totally shows her lack of self-worth. Right. You know, she's willing to not matter to Cody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably some stability. Like, if she's really not looking for more, and you just know if I stay where I am, if there's at least some kind of, I don't want to just say stability, but like, you know that you're at least part of something, even if it's miles away, you know,
like security. Like,
yeah.
Well, there's a bit of life security. Like, she may not want to be with Cody romantically, but at least they know, like, well, if we do this, I know there's family, or if I need this, I could do this. But you know, when you're completely alone, you're alone, like there is nobody. You can't even complain about not seeing somebody, because there's nobody to complain about not seeing. So I think she stays just for the, this is my family. Yeah. Like, she started something. There's that sunk cost, you know, you don't just walk away of years of trying to build something that's collapsing. And it's all because of your, you know, asshole ex-husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it depends who you ask.
Technically, I'm tinfoil. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the tinfoil theory. Robin and him were, not Robin, Mary and him were already going to get divorced. and Robin was going to be the new wife anyway. He's actually a monogamy guy. And they said, well, let's make a show about this transfer of marriage. Because now he's all, oh, I don't know if polygamy is going to work for me. I guess I'll just go and be with Robin.
You know, as outlandish as that is, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Nothing would surprise me anymore.
I know. At this point, I know. But it's just how, like,
but
you
that
know,
explains, that would explain so Janelle's much like, about I don't care.
Yeah. Mary's like, I don't care. And Christine's just like, well, I can make more having a cooking show and playing the divorce victim. Sounds like a spinoff to me.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
I totally would. Cody says Jen is loyal to Mary, but she doesn't know if she gives her good advice because he wouldn't know, but it's good to have a friend, I guess. Like, she doesn't have, then he's like, well, she doesn't have a relationship with her sister wife, so I guess it's good that she has a friend. I'm like, okay. Yeah, it's good she has a friend. Robin talks about the complexity of sister wife relationships and that you have to work at it. If you had forced me to be lovey dovey with three other women married, all sleeping with my husband, that would take some work too.
Yeah. I couldn't do it, but you know, to each his own.
Yeah. She talks about how after Cody and Janelle got married, Cody's dad married Janelle's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Did we know this? Did I forget this?
I don't think it was really mentioned too much except for like in a tell-all, I think. Because I caught that like the second time around too when I did my binge watching. So I was surprised. They didn't really talk about it though in the earlier seasons, I don't mm-mm. think. It was very, very, yeah.
And she says that their relationship started out rough and over the years they figured it out. And that if you're not in a good sister-wife relationship, you can hopefully work through it and be good when you're old ladies, I guess, is kind of what I got. Like, I didn't understand where she was going with that. Yeah, I mean, relationships can start out bad and you can work through them and they get better, but also I'm not gonna be in a situation that I'm gonna be forced to be in a relationship with a sister wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know how Cody feels. Oh no this is Christine talking. I'm sorry, I misread my notes. I don't have my old lady spectacles on.
What?
Christine's like, I don't know how Cody feels and I don't care. I don't have a say in his life. He doesn't have a say in mine, only when it comes to Truly, and he hasn't seen her in 2.5 weeks and not since we've been back. So what the fuck ever, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
he, you know, and then Cody's like, he won't go see Truly because he doesn't want to be around Christine. Okay. Welcome to divorce, dude. Guess what? You don't have to be around her to be around Truly. But he says it as like, I don't have a place for Truly to be. And I'm like, you have other houses? And is it snowing again outside? Is that why you won't go? Like, I get it. You don't want to see Christine, which finally, welcome to the party. But that's how divorce works. You generally don't want to see the other person.
Yeah.
So he's
kind of a baby about the things that most people have to do in a divorce.
Yes, like, that's a good way of putting
it. I have to go pick up my stuff from her house. I don't have time, but I'm going to deal with it. It's like... Mm-hmm. Would you like her to chuck it out in the fucking snow? Like, go get it.
Yeah.
Like, usually people just go get their shit from the house when they're getting divorced. You know? Yeah. The only thing that I think that was, I don't know, back and forth was the whole selling. Like, he didn't want anything to do with Christine, right? But then when it came to selling property, he's like, oh, but wait. It's almost like he felt entitled to it.
Yeah,
like,
he totally felt entitled to it.
You should just leave and, you know, we'll sell and we'll take the money. We'll use it for the family kind of thing. It's like,
that's exactly what he said. Yeah.
But the thing is that he doesn't help them buy their fucking houses.
No.
Mm-hmm. So what if he
it's mind-boggling. And we talked about that last episode because we're like, you know, how would a divorce work? Like, Christine's only asking for the bare minimum. I think she's walking away pretty, like, you know, she's not trying to fight for properties or, you know.
She has legal rights to a lot more things.
She could be a lot more ruthless. She could have wanted her property. She could have wanted her house. She could have asked for alimony. She could have, well, not really because they weren't married. But you know what I mean? She could have been a lot nastier, especially in Arizona.
I was going to say, Hannah Cole, you're familiar with the Arizona laws.
Yeah, they are willing to bend you over. But he is a guy. So in Arizona, guys kind of get a little bit of a leg up. But, you know, I think she could have been a lot nastier.
Not according to Maryland.
The
law.
Only leg up he's doing is trying to piss on everything, claiming this is property. That's the only leg up he has right now.
Oh, my God.
Oh God. So then we have the meeting of the wives and Cody, aka the masterclass on dysfunction. And I just want to know how pissed off each of y'all got about the various things.
Well, first of all, he claims that he's blaming Christine for everything, saying he didn't know about, you know, her feelings and everything.
Correct.
But then he's saying, you know, the wives are ganging up on Christine, saying that, no, in our church, you have to ask to get a divorce. But then Cody's like, I'm not a part of the church anymore, too. So, or the wives are saying, hey, Cody isn't a part of the church either, I guess, which I didn't understand. Did they all leave the church?
I think, okay, so what I remember in this, because I think they flashed it last episode, was Cody was talking about how, like, they left Mormonism. Right. And then went to the fundy kind. And then they were involved in that. But then they left that because of some reason.
So did Cody start his own church?
So he basically was doing church at his house. That's why he called himself the priest, like the high priest.
It's the church of Cody.
Yeah. All shall bow down to Cody.
It's kind of like the 19 kids in counting. Right. How they took pieces of, I don't know, some weird, I don't know. I think it's actually like a religion that it ended up being, but it was just kind of like a break off and a picking at what elements they wanted to practice. And it just kind of became the,
yeah.
So they're spiritual, but it's not like.
Well, and Christine talks about God, right? Like she talks about her own conversations with her God and all of this stuff. But like, yeah, like Janelle makes the very good point of, you don't need to go to the bishop and ask permission because the bishop's rules do not apply to Christine.
Right. And I will say, playing devil's advocate here, I do kind of see where Robin is coming from when she, in her mind and her views that she grew up in, you know, you have to get a divorce through the bishop. So she married into this family thinking that there would be no divorce, that these are the rules. I don't know if it's to go to heaven or whatever their rules are in the afterlife. So Robin seems like she's terrified and like, this isn't what I signed up for. Christine told me that she would be here, you know, that this is a family. So I'm not saying it's right because Christine has every right to get the hell out of Dodge. Like,
right. Christine as a person has changed.
Right. So exactly. And so it's like, you don't owe anybody an explanation. And I think had the family been, let me rephrase that. So Cody is so just wanting everyone to think that what he and the fundamentalist group is doing is correct. Like, oh, polygamy is great. Polygamy is that. I think he's more upset that he's proving everybody wrong because he wanted so much to prove everyone right. That like, yes, look at our great family.
Yeah, because he talks about that.
Right. But I'm like, had they had been transparent, because we're all human, right? We all make mistakes. We're all like, no marriages are perfect.
Marriage.
Right. And had Cody at the beginning just manned up and owned it and be like, it's not working anymore. Yeah, we're going our separate ways. Nobody would have an issue with it. Okay, right. So the polygamy didn't work out. Like, okay, who cares?
Well, maybe the polygamy did, but Christine herself didn't as a wife. That happens, right? People still believe in polygamy,
right?
Who get divorced.
Like, I don't care. Again, you know, I'm like, whatever people want to do, people can do. But it's just like, Cody. Ugh.
Yeah. And he's like, he's all angry. He's angry at everything. Right. And then he's like, why is Janelle saying yay for Christine, you know. I don't get her thinking. Because Christine found a house in Utah. She's moving. Robin looks like she's about to puke. She wasn't ready to hear this. Cody, there isn't anything I can do. I'm not going to express undying love for her because I don't even like her right now. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, no one's expecting you to say that, right? Mary, what am I supposed to say? Congratulations, you're leaving the family? You mean congratulations, you're leaving the family?
Which I was like, yeah, absolutely. You should say that because it's a great moment. Like,
he stopped fighting for her years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing to fight for.
Right. And that's what she has, you know, she's been saying, right? Is that years ago that this relationship stopped being something that's fulfilling to her. And it took a long time for her to get to the place where she's okay leaving that, you know? And she said she did try and all of these things. And then it was clear and, you know, very evident he's not trying. So she finally was like, okay, I'm out. And then there's this whole discussion about the difference between like Mary's relationship with Cody and Christine's relationship with Cody. Cody explains what the difference is. Mary tries to explain what the difference is, and they're not the same. Right? So Mary says she doesn't feel jealous. Like she feels like people expect her to be jealous, and that's why she's mad or whatever. And she's like, don't be jealous. I'm not jealous because I could leave too. But my strength is being able to be willing to stay and hope that Cody might want to work on the relationship one day. Then she's like, but I'm not pining for it, but I've left the door open.
And see, you know what? As a man, he should communicate to her, listen, I do not want to be with you. Like, and make it very known and make that break, because I feel like in his ego, he's like holding on to whatever is left of her. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird dynamic. And I'm like,
can't be left.
Right. And I'm just like, you need to just let this woman move on. Like, cut her off. Like, you're not legally married to her. Your kid is over 18. Just, you know, it's just like, you're, this poor woman's suffering. She needs some help.
She really does.
And I say that with like love in my heart, just.
Yeah. So Cody is so mean to her about it because how are you divorced? Right. So Mary questions like, how does that work? Because Christine just says she's divorced and she's done and that he doesn't get any say in it. But she and Cody have the same situation, but she doesn't consider herself divorced. She says, I want to work on the relationship, but Cody doesn't. So does that mean I'm divorced? Mm-hmm. Cody says he doesn't consider himself married to Mary.
This is some hypocritical bullshit.
Like,
and that he doesn't feel emotionally safe with her and never will. Is this his new buzzword after gaslighting? He doesn't feel emotionally safe.
Yeah.
She and did like, one thing. This woman who's the one who like opened the door for you to be with everyone else. Like she's given up. I don't want to say she's given up a lot because she believed in it too, but it's like he acts like she's the worst person in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she stays. Because she wants to work on the relationship and one day Cody might want to too. No, he does not want to.
And like, why isn't Robin or any other woman taking out their anger on Mary like they are Christine? In the sense of like, oh wait, let me rephrase that. Like, that doesn't make sense. I'm so tired.
They're getting angry.
Well, why are they not mistreating Mary the way they mistreat
Christine? Right, because like, the whole situation is messed up because they're saying Christine, you know, can't leave because she didn't get a divorce from the bishop and she didn't whatever this, but then it's like, oh well, I'm not even married to Mary, but that's okay for Cody to make statements like, well, I'm not even really married, or well, you're not divorced, you're legally divorced, but in your religion you haven't gotten a divorce, so are you divorced? Like, I don't know,
the hypocrisy is insane. It's like,
why do you think you're not really married to Mary? Because you divorced so you can adopt kids. Really? Like,
doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
He says the difference, he says, is because Mary and him have been unraveling for years, but Christine, despite the fact that she has been saying this for years.
10 years, she said. It's been going
on.
He
didn't believe it, right? So her departure was sudden to him. And he's like, you can't do this to me. do this to me. This is his language. This is his narcissistic language, yes. Right? He does this again and again and again. He talks about, like, later we see the same language choices where he talks about, we work so hard begging the public to accept us and our family. And in the moment she says she's divorced and it delegitimizes everything I've worked for.
Yeah.
So again, this narcissistic language, the I's, the me's, you know, he can do these things. When he does it, it's leadership. When they do it, it's gaslighting him, you know?
Well, it's like he beats them down, and I don't mean physically, but, you know, emotionally beats them down, makes them feel like crap by not seeing them, not seeing the kids, da, da, da. And then the one time that they want to fight back and say something or do something, it's like, that's what he holds against them. So Mary, you know, I'm not condoning cheating or anything, but okay. Mary was beat down. She finds a catfish that listens to her. One thing in her life she does wrong in the relationship, whatever.
I don't know, define wrong.
But, you know, maybe questionable. And he's going to hold that over her for the rest of her life, probably. Like, he'll but be like,
he made her come back first.
Exactly. So I'm like, he needs to be a man and cut it off and just be like, I'm not, it's it. We're done. Goodbye. Like, leave. Like, but I feel like he can't do that. I don't know. But I think at the end, it was really funny how they were showing, like, next week, I'm getting ahead of myself, but when Cody says the sacrifice, when he talks to Christine, he says, the sacrifices I made to love you wasted. I wrote that down. I was like, what the fuck
does that mean?
That's, yeah. Next week's episode, I want to watch it now because this shit looks explosive. We, all hell breaks loose. Cody's fucking screaming. Everything is happening.
He's not even, his voice is just like, he sounds like a 13-year-old boy. Like, he's arguing like a 13-year-old boy and he sounds like one. I'm like, what is going on? Oh.
yeah. They're going back to, like, okay, the are you divorced? Are you not divorced? Whatever. Robin says Christine is invalidating their relationships because the marriage is sanctioned by the church. So the church has to say she's divorced. And Christine is like, whatever, I don't care. And Janelle jumps in being the voice of fucking reason there, you know, after Robin's like, oh, you require counseling meetings. And technically, until she's physically with another man, she's not divorced. The bishop says until she sleeps with someone and did it in her divorce to be recognized. But Janelle is like, as far as I know, your divorce just has to be recognized. But Christina's left the church and she says it was between her and God, and Christine's left the faith. So those rules don't apply to her. In the words of Melody Holt, God said go is basically like, you want to talk to God about this? Yeah, I did talk to God. God said go, girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, why are you still here?
I've been trying to, can you take Mary too? I've been trying to get her out, but she thinks I told her to stay. And it's this whole thing, she misunderstood because she wasn't listening. I don't know what's happening.
He said, save your soul. She's like, LuLaRoe? Okay. I think LuLaRoe is probably more something she can depend on than Cody, and that's sad.
Oh, that's so sad.
You're very right.
I'm sorry. I mean, like, those leggings hold on tighter than he does.
One of the squares on our bingo was spot the LuLaRoe. And the first place I spotted it was the tag on a piece of clothing that one of the babies was wearing in one of the pictures they showed in the first, like, 10 minutes of the episode. I was,
it's
like,
gotten there. She's, oh, like, there I can't wow, sell it. So I'm using it as a swaddler. Oh, that's intense.
Well, then at one point, I don't know if this is in your notes too, but he starts talking about the kids,
mm-hmm,
and basically, like, putting them out. Either he's like, oh, well, he named like three or four of them. What, mm-hmm, did he say? He was just like, they're not part of the family anymore. Like, they chose not to be, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because he's saying, so Janelle says, like, the best thing that came out of this whole thing was this cohesive family we've produced. Cody's, mm-hmm, like, but it's not cohesive. And he's like, Mariah's moved out and she's not associated with the family. And I want to make a comment about that just because I had this conversation with some friends. Mariah is now Leon, but at the time this was filmed, they hadn't come out as Leon yet. So I was like, oh my God, they just dead name Leon there. And they, I don't think they did, because I don't think the news had come out yet.
It's recorded so long ago that, I mean,
yeah. Yeah. So I was like shocked at first, but then I had to be reminded that it was filmed like a year ago, and Leon probably, I think, only recently came out. So I'll forgive Cody that one thing, but he is, you're right, he's rattling off all these names about this kid and that kid. Yeah, all those are the older kids that hate you and don't want anything to do with you. And then he says three of Janelle's kids are close to three of Christine's kids, and that's it. So that's what she's talking about.
Yeah,
it's like, well, yeah,
they grew up together, they were the ones that were, you know, together, mm-hmm. when the moms worked. And
Janelle makes this really, really good point. She says that Cody is really myopic about this, and he sees everything through the perception of Robin and her kids, and that somehow her kids have been slighted because they don't have the same family dynamic that like Janelle and Christine's kids had when they were growing up, because it's a different family dynamic now. And so, well, she's why do they perceive there's this shunning of Robin and her kids? And I'm like, I think it's more of them doing it themselves. But Hannah Collins,
I mean, and it's a different age range too, right? Like,
right, exactly.
It's kind of like when you're making soup and you throw potatoes in last, they're not going to be cooked as well. So Robin and her family are like the last minute potatoes.
You just compared the kids to potatoes.
But seriously, like, you can't expect it all to cook at the same time.
Oh my God, you just called Robin's kids potatoes.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, Lord. Oh my God. Yeah, right.
She's about undercooked, you know, underplucked, undercooked, overplucked, undercooked. I'm not sure. One of the two.
So then Cody says, Robin and the kids and him all connect. And he's like, but why is that not the case with the other kids?
Well, because they're young and impressionable still, right?
Well,
like,
and he says,
like being stepdad to very young kids, there's no opinion yet. They feel like this is family.
Well, that, and he quarantined himself away from them for a while too in the last couple of years. But yeah, I agree. They're at different ages. I mean, when Janelle and Christine's kids were growing up, they were all literally like within a couple of years of each other. I felt like, you know,
and Christine was watching all of them while Janelle was working. So they were all together too.
Yeah.
Cody says, well, the other kids don't come to me the way that like Robin's kids do. And again, this is a running theme with him. He keeps putting this on the kids about it's the kids' responsibility to maintain this relationship with their father. And again, I say, fuck all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Because you are the adult with, oh, I don't know, 20, 30 years worth of relationship experience on them. You're supposed to be the adult and going to the children.
Mm-hmm. You know, okay. Set some time with them. Say, hey, I want to hang out with you, and don't make it about like asking them a question or needing something from them. Just go have like coffee with someone, or go have lunch with someone, ask them what they're doing and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you don't have to go hiking.
It has to be a fucking event for him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and he has to go hiking, no, you know, kayaking, just something very simple.
Just go to fucking McDonald's and talk. Have a burger and lunch. He's like, well, we're going to plan a trip to Yellowstone. It's going to be a big production, so I can have one conversation with my daughter. It's like, I can't. I fucking can't. I can't.
The both of you on this on this topic.
Because, I mean, I don't know.
I see so much in him that I see in like exes I've had and just people I know that are just so narcissistic. They just don't see it. The world is around them. Like everything revolves around them. And he's the perfect example of that.
So many episodes ago when he said, I don't like hanging out with them. I'd rather pay somebody else to babysit them because it's not worth my time to do so because I don't like to do it.
And he has some sort of God complex where he wants everyone to worship him. Everybody's got to reach out to him. He's got to be idolized. And like, that's the vibe I get. It's just like, worship me or else I don't want anything to do with you. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it, though. Like, that's really it, because it works with Robin and the kids because they do idolize him. They put him on this pedestal. They worship him. and the other people don't. And he expects, and it, he expects the kids to keep coming to them. And he's like, Robin and the kids involve him. Mm-hmm. You know, like they go to Cody and involve him versus him going to them. Like his own words, just like he's not even hiding any of this. This is just, oh.
Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it's super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
Mary says there's lots of fractures, and if people aren't going to work on this, this is the future of our family. And by people, you know, she means Cody and Christine. Well, she doesn't mean Cody. She should mean Cody. She means Christine.
Yeah, but why is she so defensive of him in a lot of ways?
Like, because if she doesn't, she loses all her attention.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shit on the hand that feeds me.
Yeah. Ugh. She's like, what is it, breadcrumbing, or just like the little bits that he's giving her? Tiny, tiny little bits she's latching like onto. I don't know.
It's like my dogs when they like follow me around hoping I'm going to like drop, a bite of my apple or something. You know, they're waiting, you know, to scrape it up in case any little bit might fall off.
Yeah, God, but then when that little bit falls off, you lock them up in the gate and let the other dog eat it.
That is Cody right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cody talks about how they've been public for 12 years and this delegitimizes everything that he worked for. He can't figure out why he's so angry. Says that he found out from Madison that Christine wanted to leave. And Christine's like, you're only hearing one part of the conversation as you're hearing it through the grapevine. Come to me and da 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 da, which whatever.
If he cared enough, he would have. I believe if he actually at the time cared enough, he would have gone to her.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had to hear it from a child if he was actually paying any attention to his wife.
Yeah.
He says, and I quote, I was always here and I was always involved. Don't know why the kids are telling her to leave me. Because she thinks that, because Christine tries to clarify that Maddie asked her, why don't you leave? Or something along those lines. So he takes that as the kids are telling her to leave him. And why are they doing that? I've always been here. And it's like, no.
I'm a great husband. I'm a great.
Okay.
Because the kids are smart. They're more intuitive and intellectual than him.
Yeah.
And so at then, 20 years old, however old Maddie is, she still has more intelligence.
Yeah.
Compassion.
Than he does.
Yeah.
He also grills Christine on which kid it was that told him or asked her why she doesn't leave him. And Christine refuses to throw a kid under the bus. And then she's like, fine, it's several of your children, Cody.
Well, and then Janelle jumps in and is like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, it was one of your kids. That's one of yours, Janelle.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter. The point is, the kids notice you're not fucking around. Okay.
Yeah. Kids are not stupid. I mean, it's very obvious when two people are not in love anymore or don't, yeah. you know, or are fighting. It's
Robin asks, well, why are they asking? Because they see it. They see it as far back as Vegas. They were seeing it.
So then Christine, and then she's like going off. She's like, Christine, you were not upset back then. You did not communicate with Cody. You didn't communicate. I'm like, what is she talking? What?
Right. I had
to. How did she know anything?
Yeah. I know. There's so many things about this conversation, this part of it specifically that I had to like rewind. I had to stop. I had to pause. I'm like trying to figure out what happened, but I think I pieced it together.
Okay, good. Because I didn't. So please enlighten me.
So Robin misunderstands what Christine says. Christine is like quoting what the kids asked her and what the kids had said, which is something along the lines. They noticed like, things have been bad for a while. And Robin misheard that as Christine saying everybody's relationships have been bad for a while. So Robin was like, why are you lying? Not everybody. No, like, what are you talking about? Like who's, why is everybody's relationship bad? Why lump us all in? Cause she thought that Christine was saying everybody's relationships were bad. So that comes back at towards the end of the conversation. But they, Robin at first, before she realizes what happened, she thinks that Christine is saying that everybody had terrible relationships. But Robin does still do all this batshit asshole things because she's like, I remember you having fun dates. Either you were faking it in front of me or I didn't know. No, you don't know. You know, you're trying to gaslight Christine about her own relationship.
Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah. Completely dismissing her own feelings. Like you cannot ever tell somebody how they feel. Mm-hmm. Can't.
Yeah. And so, and then Janelle's like, wait, this is weird because they've been having problems for a long time. Why are they trying to invalidate Christine, you know, and her feelings? Why are they saying, why is Robin losing her shit? You know, saying, no, you were fine in Vegas. So she's like, first of all, she's like, you were fine in Vegas. Everything is fine. Why is suddenly this? But then she's like, we've been trying, you know, we have been trying and we've been communicating and we've been talking about this and things, you know, just haven't, you know, what are the words she used? She used, we've had so many realistic conversations about this is the exact words she used. And Robin turns around and says, no, you don't communicate. How could you have had conversations? You don't communicate. So wait, it's been bad since Vegas or it's not been bad since Vegas. They communicate or they don't communicate. Like she's
right. Which is it?
Right.
And then Cody's stay out like, of it. You're not a fucking marriage counselor. Stay out of it.
Cody says, no, it's not communication. She told me this. She told me this. She told me this. She told me this. And it makes her feel powerful. So she feels like she is communicating.
It sounds like some like really bad deflection upon his own behavior. Everything right? he's saying about her is really like kind of what he's doing to a degree.
Mm-hmm. Like, and this like, oh, it makes her feel powerful. So she feels like she's communicating.
Is that what he would have felt like? If I mean,
are we minimizing what she's doing because you don't like it? Like the misogyny that just oozes out of that statement. Just like, oh, and the patriarchy and the misogyny. It's like,
do you think that he realizes that he's being that way? Do you think he actually realizes that he's misogynistic in a lot of ways? Or do you think he's just ignorant to it?
I don't think he views misogyny as bad, I guess, is what I think. Like, I don't think he would say he's not a misogynist. Like, he would say he's not a misogynist.
Of course,
because the word misogynist has bad connotation, even though all his actions and behaviors are, you know, the definition to a T, right? He wouldn't say that about himself because that's, you know,
negative. Well, he can't self-reflect. He's...
But he is, and I think he takes pride in his behavior that he won't call misogynistic, even though it is exactly misogynistic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's my view on it.
And it goes back to like Janelle saying, I didn't sign up for the patriarchy or whatever, you know?
They try to clarify this, you know, Robin's like, what, you know, why lump us all in? Christine's, I didn't say that. They try to clarify this. Janelle's like, don't lump me in as ammo against Christine. No, ma'am. I will not be do that. I will not. Then he goes on about, you know, the word of his other word of this episode is delegitimize. I think that's like the word that everybody was using. And Christine has said she's considered this a lot. Would she be a fraud? She knew that this divorce and everything would be public. She knew it would play out publicly. She knew all this. And she considered whether she would, is she a fraud? And she says that she has a very clear conscience that she couldn't stay married to somebody who had favorites and made it very known that he had favorites. And that someone, and be with someone who is breaking my kids' hearts. And that she said, I needed to stand with them and I needed to do it for them. And she like starts crying and gets up and walks off the couch. And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
Christine, you beautiful ray of sunshine.
And she kept her cool the entire time. Robin was like attacking her and all that. She was just calm.
Robin, that bitch rolling her eyes at her. I was like, oh, no, ma'am. Mm-mm.
I know. She couldn't have handled it any better than her little heart. I'm just like, oh, I just want to give Christine a hug.
I know. God. Yeah. So then we, next time, all hell breaks loose. Cody screams, the sacrifices that I made to love you are all wasted. It's wasted. He's like in the pit of despair or something. I don't know. What do we call it? The gall of audacity or some.
I don't even remember.
He was in the gall of the audacity. The gall of the audacity. He's like, the
sacrifice, I could have taken another wife.
One that would listen to me.
Well, does the nanny listen to you?
Yeah. You're still convinced. You are really convinced of something.
It's because Hanakawa convinced me.
Oh, what happened? What did I miss?
Nothing.
I
don't know.
I always convince, I guess my existence convinces that he's sleeping with the nanny. Or that she's going to be the replacement. She's good for the kids.
I mean, what does the nanny do?
Right. She babysits. I mean, he doesn't want to do it himself, right? So that's a plus. Mm-hmm.
When I think about it, though, have you guys seen Sex in the City?
Yeah.
It's no. The number, oh. It's the number two. And that's what she says. What does the nanny do? And she's like running around in the field brawless. Is that what I'm like, I don't even know what she looks like, but oh my god. Yeah. I see Christine will leave and then they'll do like sister wives seeking or something like that. Sister wives 90 days.
Christine the single
sister
life.
Wife or something like that.
Yeah. So what I said last time, I'm like, well, Christine the single life. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate crossover event. Yeah. Okay. We're giving them ideas, okay?
I know. I know, right? What was it that we were watching when we were talking about that?
What do you mean?
Well, there was like some 90-day crossover, or it would something that we were watching that wasn't 90-day, where they were marrying a like foreign person. I feel like it was with you. What were we watching? I feel like we talked about it on the air about, hey, here's an idea for a new show crossover. And I don't remember. Now I'm blanking.
I have no idea.
If any of you guys remember, please tell me. What am I talking about?
Probably another late night recording.
What am I talking about here?
I mean, it sounds interesting. I look forward to watching it.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, I'm down.
Oh, Lordy, lordy, lordy. So I am ready for next week. This is so good. I feel like there's just... I feel like there's some trolling on the part of the producers. But I'm not sure, because I feel like they're... showing us stuff of like Cody that they've never showed us before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they're getting him riled up.
Like, has he done this before? Because somebody doesn't just suddenly out of the blue act this way. Like,
no, you need to go back and see the first couple seasons again, because he's so nice and so, and even on the couch, so nice. And
Right.
I'm putting on a show.
But you know he acted like this, not on camera or whatever he did, and they just didn't air it.
Yeah.
So I feel like the fact that they're airing all this stuff about him now, like,
makes for good TV. That's for
it
sure.
It does. I mean, they're doing the storyline well, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out with us again for another hour-ish or whatever. We appreciate you guys. If you like what you're hearing, please make sure you subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And if you enjoy us, please leave us a 5-star review. We would love that. Join us on our Facebook group. And join us on our Unsolved Mysteries series that we're doing. Next episode, UFOs, dropping soon. Thanks for tuning in, you guys. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.